Hello, good morning, how you doing? Waking up, waking
get up with,
ladies and gentlemen,
Josiah and Ellie.
It goes like this.
Hello, catch-uppers. Welcome to today's podcast. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for clicking that little button. Click subscribe if you haven't yet. If this is the first one you're listening to and you haven't subscribed, do it. Come on, it'll be fun. Everyone else is doing it. It's what the cool kids are doing. That, my friends, is an example of peer pressure. Hey, today on the show, I write a letter to the European Union, which is a bit of fun because they're trying to pick on us and they're trying to beat us and we're not having a bar of it. So I'm writing back to them. Also, I rap. I introduced the new genre of country rap, which seems to be all the rage in 2019. And I talk about a bunch of other stuff too, like what'd you give up and why? I open a courtroom. Yeah, my dad's a judge, so I figure I can be a judge too. Must run in the family, right? And also, I actually speak to my dad because he's in London at the moment and attempted to go to the Ashes and it didn't turn out the way he wanted it to. So how much fun can you pack into one podcast? Heaps. Hey, this is the second last show I'll be doing by myself. Josiah will be back on deck next week. So until then, just enjoy my dulcet tones and I'll speak to you again for the last time solo tomorrow.
This is...
Are we ready?
The Catch Up
with
Josiah and Ellie.
Something's angered me over the last day or two, and that is the fact that the European Union are trying to ban us Australians, particularly producers in Australia, from using names that they've got for their products, like most importantly, cheese. They're trying to patent the usage of words like feta and Gruyere and a whole bunch of other names and say we can't use those for our feta. We have to call it something else, like crumbly pasteurised goat's milk or something of the sort, because they want to ban it to food that's specifically grown in those regions, like they did with champagne. It's not fair. So I've decided, you know what? Let's fight back. Let's bite back, Goulburn Valley. And I've decided to write them a letter. Here's how it's gone down. Dear European Union, you have cheesed us right off. You want to ban us from using words like feta and Gruyere and Gorgonzola simply because they haven't been produced in the feta and Gruyere and Gorgonzola regions. Well, it may have worked when you told us to start calling champagne sparkling wine, because we're simple and champagne is just wine that sparkles. But this, we're fighting back. You know what? We don't even need the word cheese anymore. We've got our own dairy farming cheese producing regions right here in the Goulburn Valley that we can start to slip into the Australian vernacular. Here are some cheeseless phrases that you're going to start to hear. Hey, I want to invite everyone round this weekend for a wine and Kyabram night.
Hey, dude, you want something with your crackers? Yeah, I'll take some Tallygarupna, thanks.
All right, everyone, say Katandra West. Those Josiah and Ellie, they are as different as chalk and Kangapna.
Kangamon rice, I stubbed my toe.
Oh, did someone cut the katunga? My wedding is coming up and I run a really massive Winolta board at a... The Notebook. Ugh, that movie is so catamatidy. So, European Unions, we no longer need you. These phrases roll off the tongue way more easily than Gorgonzola ever did. Yours sincerely, the Stanhope-doff people of Australia.
This is The Catch-Up
with
Josiah and Ellie.
I made a bit of an observation yesterday that music in 2019 all seems to be embracing this new genre of country rap, where there's like a rap beat, but then there's country singers, you know? Old Town Road, of course, was the one that kind of started it all. Then this one. Gonna do the two-step, then cowboy boogie, grab a sweetheart. So I've decided to start remaking some old school rap songs in a country style because, you know, I've got plenty of times on my hands, basically. Yesterday, I gave Eminem's Without Me a crack. Now, this looks like a job for me, so everybody just follow me because we need a little controversy because I feel so empty without me. So this looks like a lot of feedback in the office from that one. Apparently, my country accent isn't great. It's just a funny voice. Well, I'm trying, okay? I'm not bloody Keith Urban. Does he have a country accent? Not so much. He sings in one. But then I put the call out yesterday. I said, get in touch with me if there's a country, if there's a rap song that you'd like me to remake in a country style. And Drew sent me a message to the Hit Goulburn Valley Facebook page saying, Ellie, you should do Snow's Informer. I'm just going to play you Snow's Informer if, in case you're not familiar with it. Okay, it's literally the hardest song you could ever rap in life. But hey, if you ask for it, Goulburn Valley, I'm going to attempt to deliver. So here we go. Don't judge me. Snow's in form, a country style for 2019. Let's give it a crack. Here we go.
Informer, you know, said daddy, no be, I go blame. I lick it, boom, boom, down. Take the man, I say, so daddy, send it up to someone down the lane. I lick it, boom, boom, down. Informer, you know, said daddy, no be, I go blame. I lick it, boom, boom, down. Take the man, I say, so daddy, just know me, stop someone down the lane. I lick it, boom, boom, down.
Oh, God. I was in here at 7 o'clock practicing that last night. It was so not worth it. Oh, if you've got any other suggestions, please get in touch with me. Or if you want me to stop this horrific segment, if it's assaulting your ears, I'll understand that as well. Get in touch anytime. Hit GV on Insta, hit Goulburn Valley on Facebook.
This is...
Are we ready?
The Catch-Up.
With...
Josiah and Ellie.
I don't know if I'm crazy or not, but I'm mad at my boyfriend because I had a dream that he cheated on me with a girl from The Bachelor. You know that Eleanor chick on The Bachelor? She's really cute. She's a good-looking girl. I actually kind of know her because she went to my school over in Perth. And I had a dream that I was at a party and she was there. And she came up to me and she was like, I've been with your boyfriend 5 times. And I was like, woohoo! And then I've woken up and I just feel sick about it because I'm like, how dare he? How dare my boyfriend cheat on me? I don't care if it's in my dream. It counts. And so I've decided I'm going to give him a call this morning and I'm going to confront him about it. So here we go.
Hello.
Hello. I can't believe you cheated on me. Why are you laughing?
I didn't even get to experience it.
What do you mean you didn't get to experience it? I had to experience it. It was awful. Do you know exactly what you did? You had been cheating on me not once but 5 times, this girl told me in my dream.
Can you give me all the details?
No, I'm not giving you all the details.
Which girl was it?
I don't even want to tell you because then you're going to go look her up and you're going to see if she's hot or not, and that's not okay with me.
Do I still count it then?
No. What do you mean do you still count it? I'm counting it. I'm counting it as you cheating on me. So I just am calling to see what you're going to do to make it up for me because I'm this close to just putting the call out to all my male listeners and saying who wants to take me on a date.
Well, I'm going to think about it all afternoon and I will see what I can do to make up for it in my dream tonight.
So what, you're going to have a dream that you do something super romantic for me?
Yeah, in my dream you're going to get the best flowers ever.
Hold on. If you're having a dream and you can come up with whatever you want, can you do better than flowers?
Yeah.
Like flowers is nice in real life, but if it's a dream, take me to the moon or something, you know?
That's a bit too much though.
Get everyone in the Maud Street Mortador flash mob for me, you know?
Yeah, I don't think that quite meets up with what I did though.
How dare you? Can you just tell me you love me?
Go to sleep tonight and see what happens.
All right, well, I'll just wait for another 12 hours to go to sleep and hopefully we can settle this argument then.
Sounds good.
Hate you.
Love you.
Doesn't work like that. Hey, Goulburn Valley, 13, 12, 16. Give me a call nut right now. Have you been mad at someone because of something they did in your dream? Make me feel like I'm not alone and I'm not a stage 5 clinger crazy girlfriend. Can you be mad at someone for what they did in your subconscious? Has it happened to you? Have you fallen out with someone over it? I want to hear your stories. Give me a call, 13, 12, 16. Let's go to Jane from Shep. Jane, who have you been mad at? Have you been mad at someone?
Yeah, I was so mad at my mum.
Okay, what'd your mum do?
I'm still furious at her. It was a dream I had a week ago.
A week? That's a long time to get over it. Okay, so yeah. What'd she do wrong in your dream?
Well, she wouldn't let me in the house with my dog. She kept kicking us outside. She was like, get out of here, get out of here. She loves my dog.
Yeah.
So I don't know why I was so, like, in my brain is just like, no, your mum hates the dog.
Well, I mean, I hate to be the one to break it to you, but maybe it's not the dog she hates. Maybe it's you.
She kept yelling, like, get out of here with that dog. I don't want that dog in here. And now even, like, I still can't bring the dog around to her house.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I wouldn't either. And I wouldn't go around there if I were you either, just because apparently you're part of the thing she hates. All right, well, I hope things clear up and you can get over it soon, Jane.
Thanks so much, Ray.
All right, let's go to Amy from Shep. Amy, have you been mad at someone because of a dream?
I got mad at my boyfriend because I had a dream that he cheated on me with multiple women, and obviously it wasn't true. It was just a dream, but I could not get out of the space that I thought he cheated on me. So I was very angry at him for the whole day.
Exactly. That's exactly what happened to me. How long did it take you to get over it? Because it's been a day and I'm still not over it.
No, it took me at least a day, and even the next day I was a bit iffy with him. I was kind of treating him like I'd gotten over it, but I still wasn't happy about it. And he's like, seriously, it was a dream. Like, what's the deal? So,
all right. You made me feel way less crazy. Thank you, Amy.
No worries.
This is...
Are we ready?
The Catch Up.
With...
Josiah and Ellie.
Melbourne rookie Tom Wilkinson. Hadn't heard of him until now, but he has reportedly informed the Roos that he's going to be leaving football completely because he's had another opportunity come along, and that is to take up a spot on the Australian Amazing Race. Firstly, I'm mad about this because I did not know that the Amazing Race was coming back, and if I did know, then I would have applied because that's like my dream to go on that show. Maybe Josiah and I could, Josiah and I travelling together. I don't know if we could do it. But anyway, I just got sidetracked by thinking of that possibility. Anyway, so Tom Wilkinson, he was a rookie that got signed in the 2018 rookie draft. He was pick 41 for North Melbourne, and he's been yet to play a senior AFL game. And as of this week, he's thrown in the towel and said, look, I can't, I've got a different commitment, and that is to film the new season of The Amazing Race. So he's teamed up with Paul Roos's son, remember Paul Roos? Tyler Roos, who plays footy on the Gold Coast. And they've both just headed off, thrown in the towel on their AFL careers, and they're going to be filming this TV show. The filming of it takes a few months, right? So fair enough that you take some time off work to do it, but to completely throw in the towel on what could have been a great AFL career is a pretty massive decision. Is it worth it? That's what I want to talk about this morning. 13, 12, 16. I want to ask for similar stories because I feel like I'm qualified. My dad is a former judge, right? So I feel like that gives me the qualifications to decide whether what you gave up was worth it or not. Were you entitled to have given it up? Do you know what? In the case of Tom Wilkinson and Paul Roos's son, I'm going to say yes. I get your AFL career could have spanned 10, 15 years. Yes, you could have ended up on a $1 million contract. But the chance to go on the Amazing Race, I mean, it's once in a lifetime. You can play footy anytime. You can come back and, you know, play in the VFL or something. It's fine. You'll still get another game, I'm sure. But the Amazing Race, this opportunity ain't going to come around again. So my judgment is it's okay. 13, 12, 16. I want to know this morning, Goulburn Valley, what did you give up and why? And I'm going to rule as to whether you should have done that or not. Giving myself a lot of power here, but I'm going to stick with it. Anna from Echuca, that's what you've done. Welcome to the courtroom, my friend. I'd like to know, what have you given up and why?
I gave up doing dancing when I was about 10 or 11 years old, and it was because my podiatrist said it was stuffing up my feet.
When you were 10, that's a pretty short-lived career.
I was actually pretty good at it. Like, I did competitions, but yeah.
What type of dance? Let's unpack this a little bit. What type of dancing were you doing? Was it ballet? Was it jazz? Was it acro? What's the deal?
It was sort of like acro jazz. It was a mix, but
acro jazz.
I basically started from gymnastics, so I was actually really flexible. But yeah, my feet were stuffed.
Okay, and what did you end up doing instead of dancing? Did you pick up a new hobby? Did you pick up a new career?
I played netball.
Okay, do you know what? I'm okay with that because I'm also a netball player and I'm also a former dancer. I mean, I gave up in kindy because I hated it. But I feel like I'm okay with that. I feel like I'm going to rule in favour and say that that's okay. You're allowed to have given that up.
Thank you. Yes, and that's why we're such nimble netball players, obviously.
Exactly. How many premierships have you won since?
Oh, one.
One. Hey, that's one more than you would have if you remained a dancer, my friend.
True.
Alrighty, well, thank you for attending court today. You enjoy the rest of your day.
You too.
All right, let's move on to James from Shep. James, welcome to the courtroom.
Thank you. Oh, thank you very much.
That's okay. That's okay. It's very formal. I've got the sound effects and everything. Okay, James, what have you given up and why?
I have given up napping.
Ooh.
Now, I work very, very early morning,
mm-hmm.
and it I'm usually home from work at about lunchtime each day. So I'm napping in the afternoons, and I've been napping for too long, and it's been throwing everything out.
Right. So you're having trouble sleeping at night as a result of the naps?
Yeah, I'm sleeping less than 6 hours at night because of it.
Interesting, and, James.
Yeah, so what I've done is I've stopped napping, and I've actually traded that to going to the gym instead at the same time. And it's actually fixed everything.
Is that right? Okay, interesting. All right, there's a bit to look into here. Now, I myself am pretty much, I could nap for Australia if it was a sport. You know, I'm really good at it. I do it every day. And I also work early hours. So I'm feeling you. And I'm afraid, yes, going to the gym is great. Good on you. You're making a healthy lifestyle choice. But naps are too important. Your sleep's important. You know, you got to get your 8 hours. Just doesn't matter whether it's spread across the day or not. So I'm going to have to rule in favour of the naps, my friend.
Yeah.
You go home today and you nap for as long as you want to do. Do what I call a Dalai Lama, which means you don't set an alarm and you can just sleep for hours and hours and hours. It's okay.
Okay, I'll do it because Ellie told me
yes,
to.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. I have a lot of power. Like I said, I've got the big stick, so that gives me power. Oh, all right. You enjoy your nap today, James. Thank you for entering the courtroom.
Thanks, Ellie.
There you go, Goulburn Valley. Anything else you need me to preside over, let me know. Hit me up anytime. Hit GV on Insta, hit Goulburn Valley on Facebook.
This is The Catch Up
with
Josiah and Ellie.
This is sports. This is sports.
It's Josiah and Ellie's Sport Talk.
All right, the second test of the Ashes should be underway by now. Should have completed the first day of play, but unfortunately the rain fell at Lord's and that meant that it got washed out and day one did not go ahead. Now, I thought, you know, I don't like cricket, so I like to help get people on to help me talk about it. And the person I'm getting on this morning is none other than my father, John Chaney, who is on holiday in London at the moment, and he had tickets for the game yesterday. And unfortunately, he hasn't been able to see any cricket be played. He joins me now. Morning, Dad.
Morning, Ellie.
Oh, you sound so depressed.
Yeah, well, when, you know, one of your life's ambitions gets swallowed up in the rain, it's not the greatest thing, but there we go.
Yeah, so what happened? Did you go there?
Yeah, we went there. We were there early, about 40 minutes before the start of play, and we found our seats and sat down in the rain. And then we thought, this isn't a very good idea, so we found some shelter and had a cup of coffee. And all the English supporters were there. They were coming in their droves. So everyone was there, 25,000 people. It's a sellout crowd, and nothing happened.
So what happens now that nothing happened? Do you get your tickets refunded? Do you get them reissued? Yeah. What's the deal?
Yeah. The rule is that if they get less than 15 overs in, you get all of your money back, which is quite a considerable sum, I might say.
Yeah. How much does a ticket cost?
Well, the tickets I had were £150, which is about $280
Damn.
For the day.
You're a high roller, Dad.
No, yeah, no worries. I'm just spending your inheritance, Ellie.
Well, stop it. Okay, I'm poor. Give me £150.
I'm going again tomorrow. But anyway, so if it's, the rule is that if it's less than 15 overs, you get all of your money back. And I think it's between 50 and 30 overs, you get half your money back. So we got nothing. Players came out at one stage because they thought they were going to start in the middle of the day, and they all started warming up. And Geoffrey Archer, the new English debutant, was presented with his cap. That was all the action we saw for the day. Then it started raining and they all went away again.
So how long do you give it? How long did you wait until you decided, all right, it's not happening?
Well, they actually called it off at about 4:30. They finally abandoned play. But we were down in the bar, so we stuck it out for a bit longer.
Couple of beers under your belt?
Yeah, we were onto the gin and tonics by then.
Classy. All right, well, what does this mean? Because I try to do cricket updates, and you know me, I hate cricket. What does this mean for the second test?
Oh, it means there are still 4 days left, and, you know, you can get a result in 4 days. So tomorrow should be exciting, so I'll be there for tomorrow.
Oh, fingers
crossed. And the forecast is actually good for tomorrow. So.
All right,
but,
well.
Yeah, so the game goes on. It's just there's a bit less time to get a result.
Do you know what? That works for me. Less time on cricket, the better.
Oh, El, you're a Philistine.
All right, Dad. Well, thanks for joining me. Go back and enjoy your London holiday. I hope that you get to fulfill your dream tomorrow.
Okay, well, watch this space. I'll have. I'm going to pad up early in the morning and see if I can get some runs.
Do you want to get what was that cricket record that you had? Do you want to give the Goulburn Valley let them know what the record you had? Isn't there one you always used to bang on about? Like I got a hat trick or I hit 200 runs or something.
No, I did have the highest partnership at suburban turf seventh grade level.
There you go.
For the fifth wicket, I think, something like that. I don't know if that record has survived.
Well, you're a cricketing legend. You and Don Bradman are the same, Dad.
I am. Well, I played in Portsmouth also this week, and we went down there, and I got a wicket and scored 13 beautifully compiled runs.
13. All right. Well, well done, Dad. Thanks for joining me on the show this morning.
Okay. Good to talk to you, Al. Bye.
Are we ready?
The Catch-Up with Josiah and Ellie. Solving life's biggest mysteries.
Oh, no.
With Josiah and Ellie.
Yeah, usually solving life's mysteries is Josiah's little baby, but he's still over in Albania, sunning it up, hitting the clubs, eating heaps of food. So unfortunately, you're stuck with me this morning. But I've got a good mystery for you. It's one that's plagued me for a long time. And if you want to contribute to the discussion, 13, 12, 16, get involved at any time. Today's life's mystery. Why is it that you always need to pee more when you get closer to a toilet? You know, isn't it the worst? As soon as you get home, you're like fumbling with your keys at the door and all of a sudden you have this overwhelming need to pee. Happens to me all the time. In fact, okay, this may be too much information, but hey, it's early. You know, we're all up. We're all slogging through. You want to hear about my toilet schedule? Great. Whenever I get into work in the morning, I need to pee. It's just like something in my mind gets triggered and I'm like, all right, here we go. Turns out it's a thing, guys. It's called latchkey incontinence. Incontinence. Isn't that the worst word? You hope you never get it. But apparently we all do. So basically what you're doing is when you glance at an object like a toilet or like your front door, immediately your brain is jump-started to relate that to peeing, particularly if you've done it regularly. It's like the whole Pavlov's dogs thing. Have you ever heard of that? There was a scientist called Ivan Pavlov, I don't know how to say his first name. And he basically did this experiment where he'd get dogs in and give them food and they'd salivate for the food and then they'd eat it. And then it got to the point where whenever they saw him, they'd start salivating automatically in anticipation of the food. It's like me when I see a packet of salt and vinegar chips, I start salivating. Same thing with when you need to pee. So basically, that's it. Now, they've said there's ways to train yourself out of this. You got to let your brain take control because otherwise it could get to the point where you start to... This is the words of the scientists, not me. You start to leak on the front step. Oh, no one wants to go through that. So basically what you can do is you can go through a different door of your house because that way your mind's not, you know, related to the toilet thing. Or you just have to resist it, guys. So when I get into work tomorrow, I can't pee. That's going to be my aim for Friday. I'll pee halfway through the show instead, see if it makes a difference. Hard-hitting stuff. There you go. Another one of life's mysteries. Hold on. Do I get to give it to myself? I don't know if I deserve it, but another one of life's mysteries solved. And don't worry, Golden Valley. Josiah will be back to take the reins with this segment once more next week.
Get up with
Josiah and Ellie. Miss something or want to hear it again?
Get the catch up at hits.com.au or download the Hit app.